This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And it is Monday nights, right after episode two of Katie's season. And tonight, we have special guests, a good friend of ours, a good friend of the pods, Elise. Thanks for coming on, Elise.
As always, happy to be here.
You the best.
Always love seeing you.
Yeah, yeah. We always like to have a girl on for the recaps. I always feel like it's good. We have two guys watching the show. It's always good to get a female voice for these recaps. So happy you're here.
I got to keep your boys in check.
Amen. That you do well. Yeah, you guys, Elise is like my personal therapist at times.
Yeah, like
most times, I'll be honest. I reach out to her for damn near anything and everything. Editing my photos, walking me off the ledge, just everything.
I've edited a few photos in my day.
All my thirst trap guys, Elise edits.
For you've also put together some PR releases.
Yeah, she helped me with some PR releases.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what's wrong with me. You still got to keep us in check.
Oh, you're right. Just me in check.
TBD.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Good point.
I'm here when you need me. I'm on call at this point. Blake's paid my retainer.
Guys, she's put it this way. She's pinned in my text messages. So that's what that means.
Wait, you can do that?
Yeah, I'm not fucking pinned in yours.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
I don't have that. The top six or whatever. It's like MySpace.
You can pin it. You can pin 20 if you want. You can pin however many you want.
You should feel special because somehow Instagram has chosen you as my only close friend.
I'm the only one. That actually makes me happy. That's fucking phenomenal. Like, did you guys see? It's just me and your close screen ring. That's awesome. I love it. That makes me happy. I must be who you interact the most with on Instagram, right?
Well, I have to tell you what not to do.
You're right. I run everything by Elise at this point. But let's get into the episode. Let's stop talking shit about me and how I can't live by myself and like do anything by myself. But
it's nice to have somebody else doing this though.
Second episode. First of all, Elise, like, what do you think so far of Katie as the Bachelorette?
I was really excited for her. Part of me, just because we didn't get to know her all that much, besides she was like the friend kind of to everyone on the season and kind of stood up for what was right. So I was excited. Also, as a woman in her 30s that's a cat owner, I wanted a little representation on the screen.
That's a good point, actually. I love that. I actually didn't know Katie was a cat girl. I feel like a cat woman until she was Bachelorette. Was that a thing when she was on The Bachelor?
Well, she was always, she shows her cat all the time.
On Instagram. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On Instagram. Yeah. I guess that's true. But so you feel like you're like, I don't know.
I feel heard.
Yeah, exactly. You feel heard. That's great.
Sisters.
No, I'm enjoying Katie as The Bachelorette. I think it's funny because I just talked to somebody before this and it's so funny how you can watch the same show. Two people can and think completely different things. I think Katie is incredibly confident and looks comfortable in like every situation. And who I was just talking to was like, no, I think she looks uncomfortable in everything and she seems nervous. And I'm like, really? It's just interesting how people can watch the same thing and come in with completely different opinions. What do you think? You think she looks comfortable or like?
I'm kind of somewhere in between. I think that sometimes if you're going to be authentic, which I think she is, to herself, that there's moments where you have like self-doubt and you look uncomfortable. Like when I wrote down, because I take notes when I do this podcast, that I feel like I relate to Katie. And when she's mad, she cries. It's not like, oh, I'm crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because, you know, something touched me. It's like, I'm so angry. I don't know what to do but cry. And to a lot of people that can look uncomfortable, but it's authentically just expressing your emotion. So I think she's somewhere in the middle of like, this is a weird platform to have and a weird experience. Mm-hmm. And I think we're just all watching her like try to navigate it. And to me, I think she's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, I think the end is going to be super intense and super genuine. I think there's going to be, I mean, there were times, we'll to get into it, but there's some times where she got some tears today. But I think, and I want to get into this too, the drama is bizarre this season. It's just so bizarre this season. And I think because the drama is bizarre, Katie and her tears seem like, why is she crying? But I feel like we don't get the full background, a full spectrum of the drama. I don't know. It's been weird, but let's just get started. We'll get into the first group date to start. Basically, they were what? Mud wrestling. It was mud wrestling. All the guys.
No, first group date was the sex date.
Oh, you're right. Sexy time. See, I'm all over the place. Yeah. Sexy time. Of course, this was a very sex positive season. That was Katie's whole shtick. It was the friend who sticks up for each other, and it was the vibrator. Like, that was Katie on The Bachelor. So we knew we'd get some sex positive stuff. We knew we'd get some, I guess, sexy time dates. Yeah, and this was definitely one. Who was the like the comedian or the guest at the time?
Oh,
can't think of her name.
Give me a second.
She is a funny comedian. She's a very sex positive funny.
Heather McDonald.
Yes,
yeah, McDonald. She used to be on the Chelsea Handler show.
Yeah, she's hilarious. Yeah, and talks her mind, is not afraid to like make people uncomfortable.
There's also some interesting facts like that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
The socks thing was interesting.
Yeah.
The like, what was it?
Well, let's also talk about the fact that if I remember correctly, because I used to be a huge Chelsea Handler fan, that Heather waited a long time to have sex as well.
Oh, that I think I didn't
in know. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but if I remember correctly, her first book was about that. Waiting a long time. So she had a good perspective to bring to it. But the sock thing, I need to Google.
What was that question again? It was
the best article of clothing for a woman to have an orgasm.
So she has to wear socks?
Yeah. The woman wearing socks. That's,
I think socks in bed is gross. For the record, I think it's, I hate when I wear socks during sex. I can't imagine like the other person. I think it's weird. That's weird.
The only time it makes sense is like a heated passion moment. You can't get your clothes off fast enough. But if you're going to sleep or like having like romantic sexy time in socks,
I wonder if it's a friction. I wonder if it's a friction thing for a woman.
For your feet?
I don't know.
That's weird. I agree. And the fact that one of them got it, one of the guys got it right.
And also one guy only got the largest sex organ of a woman. Do you notice that? The brain.
I disagreed with this.
What was that one?
Did you?
The biggest organ, I like what they were going with it, but the biggest organ on your body is your skin.
Mm. It is. It is.
Let's fact check that one. But the sock thing is wild.
A lot of fact checking.
But I thought it was interesting while they were doing all this, to me, it looked like none of the guys were having fun. Like, it didn't seem very jovial and relaxed environment. Like, all those guys seemed super uptight, super nervous. It was a weird vibe.
The only two that I noticed were like Connor with the song and then Trey with the puppets had fun.
So that time, I think they did open up a little bit when they were like either doing songs or acting stuff out. But like the whole answering the question things, it was like weird. I don't know. It seemed weird to me. But then they slowly started to seem open up a little bit. I thought Connor nailed the song. I didn't realize he was like a musician. He's a musician. Yeah. So, but you thought he did really good.
That is the first time on this show that a guitar has come out and I haven't been annoyed.
Yeah. It wasn't cringy. Like, he actually was like pretty good. Like, it was.
And he had fun with it.
Yeah,
exactly. It wasn't trying to be like a songbird. He was just making jokes and it was hilarious and amazing.
Yeah, I like Connor so far. I mean, he's cat guy. He's the cat. Yeah, he's a cat guy.
Are you into him?
She shook her head for those of you that can't see.
Yeah. What were your thoughts about the pause and the kissing last week?
Okay, I have to give a little background. I didn't watch the premiere because I was working, but obviously I'm on the internet. So I saw all the clips of them making out, and I don't want to kink shame anyone, but I have a really strange fear of mascots. And so that.
So you're not a furry.
I'm okay with the cat outfit. I thought it was cute, funny about her, but something about like the paw going up and then making out. It wasn't for me.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. Making out with a guy dressed as a cat isn't for a lot of people. I feel like you're not
him on this date with the like funny song, all for it.
We'll be right back. Let's get into Mikey, the virgin, as always, probably usually one. And he seemed very uncomfortable, obviously, throughout it. He didn't know how Katie was going to react, because he does know Katie's very sex positive, you know, so he didn't know how she was going to react. I thought he handled himself well. I think he got a little emotional there, which was, coming from that environment, at least you've been in that environment, everything is just like so much more intense. So I think if people, like I saw some people like giving him shit, like, dude, why are you crying? Like, not only is he a virgin, but he's crying or whatever. I'm like, listen, he was under so much pressure. He was so nervous, scared to be himself in front of that. Like, I could see why he got some man tears out there. But I thought for the most part, he handled himself pretty well in that environment with that much pressure and being so different than everybody else.
Here's the thing. I was kind of on that date. The first date where you had to talk about our first time on Colton season, which was the first group date. So this kind of felt very reminiscent of that. But, you know, we had to talk in front of an audience about our quote unquote first time, whatever that meant to you. But to me, when I saw him like crying, it wasn't because he wasn't comfortable with his decision, but how maybe the men were going to react more so than how Katie was going to react. But if we compare this to, like, I hate to bring up thou who shall not be named, Luke P. If we compare, like, you can be sex positive and be abstinent, because that's also a sex positive choice. But it's how you react to other people's choices and you're not shaming them. And I think he carried that unbelievably well. Like, I was sitting in my chair clapping for him, being like, this is a great expression of why you chose this, what you want, but also coming into it with an understanding that she has maybe a sexual history and being okay with her choice. And I think that's almost like a really great representation of being sex positive, is respecting your own choices, but respecting other people's as well. And I think he nailed it.
100%. I think that's like actually
you just mentioned the guy's take on it, and the guy's actually took it very well and like very supportive of him, which is very impressive.
Yeah. So I was going to say, so basically he sat Katie down and did like a poem, and it was a great poem too.
Basically a letter to his future wife.
Yeah. It was a letter. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. And I thought Katie handled it super well too. Like, cause I agree. Like, you can listen, if you don't want to have sex, that's perfectly fine. But then don't push that other people, you know, don't push your beliefs onto other people. And I thought not only did he not do that, but then Katie wasn't like acting like, oh, this is super awkward and weird because you haven't had sex. Like, she embraced it and she loved it, and the guys loved it. They were plotting. So that was just super cool to see, because like you said, you can be sex positive and still not have sex. Like, that's two things that you can be. A lot of people think those are separate things, but they're not. So that was cool to see.
Well, and as someone coming from like purity culture, was how I was raised, we had to write letters to our husband. Our future husband. Yeah. So when he started, I was like, oh no. But you know, a 12-year-old writing that versus whatever age he is, I think he nailed it and was so aware of what he was getting into, as far as like, she's been outspoken about, you know, being sex positive in a different direction than he is. But I think he handled that like 100% class act.
Yeah, agreed. And he ended up winning the trophy for the greatest lover of all time. So it was cool to see that. It was also really cool that he won over all the other guys, because I think some of the guys got super sexual and they didn't really show. Like, the puppet scene seemed super sexual. Like, when, like, I could just hear it in the background. They wouldn't even show it. It was cool to see that he got the
box guy last week had the dick in a box.
Dick in a box. Yeah. it was cool to see him.
Can we talk about Dollar Store Tony Robbins?
We'll definitely get into it.
I love the Dollar Store, but you know what I'm saying.
That was good.
Wow. Yeah.
We'll get into him. But we go to the night portion of that group date, and I guess
it basically started off with Connor getting a.
Yeah, it was just a lot of like really good conversations.
Wanting to redo the
right?
kiss and
yeah.
And kind of getting reaffirmed that she was into him not being in just a cat outfit.
Yeah. So let's talk about, because I was just talking to Eric about a little bit about this. Elise, what do you think about Katie's kissing thus far?
Okay. I am all in on like passionate kissing, because I will tell you one thing. Sometimes the kiss can be a deal breaker for me.
Most of the time.
You have to respond to how they're kissing you, right? I don't want to talk about the first cat kiss because that gives me the ick, but the second cat kiss still gave me the ick.
Yeah, so I feel the same with something between their kissing, just those two. It's like, I don't know. It's weird.
I really like him and I think their connection is genuine, but something about their kissing rhythm. Back and forth.
Right. I think it's their rhythm is just kind of weird. And they're like,
but it's still so early on and he's kissing in front of cameras, which is so weird. So hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully he redeems himself. But as far as Katie as a kisser, yes, girl, because the rest of the time she's climbing on laps, she's grabbing faces, and I am here for it because I want to make out like a high schooler for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's like she kisses, she kisses like there's no cameras in the room. I love that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't want to hear the noises because like nobody does, but I am the same way. Like a kiss can tell you a lot more than, you know, that phrase dancing can tell you how someone's in the bedroom. Kissing can tell you a lot.
No doubt.
No, I agree. And I think when it comes to Connor, and like, we'll see, obviously she'll kiss more as we go along, that you can tell. I do. I am a believer that if you see somebody kiss, you can usually tell the chemistry. And I like Connor a lot. It seems like she does too, but I just feel like there's something missing in that kiss. It's just not, so there's no rhythm. Just, there's no like, so I don't it just know. It's with just, them?
Cause before you,
kiss before, great again, before her we kiss were great.
Before we were talking a little bit and you were like, I don't know about Katie's kissing. Like I thought it was in general.
No. I'm saying with Connor. Okay. I'm not saying a Jenner. With Connor, it just seems like they're kind of like pecking.
Because right afterwards with Thomas, like he was grabbing her ass. Like, yeah, it was completely different.
Yeah, exactly.
I
want
to say one thing. In real life, we have a tendency to like have background music and all this kind of stuff that like sets the tempo of the evening. And maybe that's what they're missing. Because on The Bachelor or Bachelorette, it's silent. Maybe they're just rhythmically off. I don't know. I want to give him the benefit of doubt.
I keep forgetting it is early, but usually like you can, like I remember me and Becca's like first like big kiss was like great, you know, even with the cameras. I don't know. Her and Greg seem to make, I mean, their kisses are, I don't know. I don't know why we're talking about Katie kissing so much, but it was just for some reason for me, that Connor and it just sticks out to me.
I wonder if it has something to do with like last season, because Matt was just open eyed, and now you have this serial kisser, like
she's not afraid to fucking make out.
Yeah. And then the serial kisser.
She's not afraid to make out. She is not afraid to make out, which is good. Which is good. I think you have to be that way in a Bachelorette. You got to be able to compartmentalize, you know. So who got the group date rose? I honestly can't even remember.
Thomas.
Thomas did. That's right. Yeah, that kiss was intense. She like climbed on his lap. He actually feel like more pulled her on his lap.
Yeah, he almost like, yeah.
Yeah. He like pulled her.
Thrusted her up here.
She was just like, okay, like this is happening. Yeah, and she had a lot of good conversation. That was actually a good group date in general, I think. Day portion, night portion. Thomas walks away with the group date, and we go into the next day, which is the one-on-one with Greg. And I'm shocked by this. So he gets the first impression rose. And the first date. And I asked around on my Instagram, has this ever happened before? I don't think it has.
Never
happened, which is crazy to me. Like, what are the producers? Like, it's not even fair for the other guys at this point, you know?
It's almost like, is this Dale Moss all over again?
Yeah. Honestly, though, it was like, that's actually good. Yeah. Because they have something special so far.
Yeah.
From what I can see. And this date showed it even more, way more, in my opinion.
Oh, I'm going to be the odd woman out on this.
Really? Okay, good.
This is why we love having you on.
Okay. Let's just get into the date.
Let's do it.
First of all, I want vengeance about this whole fishing date because this is what I tried to do night one. And they gave me a half cut, like, slice of salmon and put it on a fishing pole with no rod and threw it into the pool. And I was like, what do I do with this? Like, I can't reel it in. So I was watching this date and a little bit selfishly going, they could have done a little better.
Wait, they put cooked salmon like on your hook?
Salmon? Like you'd buy at the store?
Yes.
That's amazing, actually.
And so do you guys remember, I have to go on a tangent because I really was fired up about this. Because do you remember that game when you were young where like the fish come up and they have magnets in their mouth?
Yep.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to take them by the pool and play that game. Like, haha, like if I'm taking you home, you got to know how to fish and make a joke out of it.
Right.
It didn't work out for whatever reason. And I got a fishing pole that had no reel on it and a piece of floating grocery store salmon.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
And it was horrible. So I loved the date, but a little bit jealous because it would have made my night a lot better had I had some sort of real fishy.
The magnet and fish thing, I remember that as a kid. That was really cool, actually. That would have been cute. That would have been cute. Producers. But tell you what, producers, they like Greg. Let's just say that. They like Greg because this date clearly meant a lot to Katie because it was, you know, her dad used to take her fishing. She talked a lot about her dad, obviously, on this date with the buckets and the toilet thing. Shitting that was pretty cool. Yeah. and then they made out and she was like, I made out with Greg on the toilet, you know, like, and it was hot. So this was a big date for Katie. So maybe Katie went to the producers and were like, hey, this date's going to mean a lot to me. I want to take Greg. Or maybe they were like, I don't know which way it went. Maybe they were like, you know, you should take Greg. But this was clearly a big date and it's going to be one of the bigger dates moving forward. Even though they didn't do anything spectacular. It wasn't this like hot tub with the fireworks. I mean, there was fireworks, but like hot tub in Vegas. So they weren't seeing some country artists. It meant a lot because it was personal to Katie. And that's huge. It was a good day. And then obviously Greg opened up about his father, which was incredibly sad, and it was a hard story, and clearly hard for him to talk about. Broke down genuinely, in my opinion. It looked like he broke down,
and she was genuinely there for him.
There was a lot of moments, like, as someone who spoke about I can't imagine if my father passed, but as someone who spoke about someone close to me, my sister, passing on the show, it is terrifying to talk about because you have so many other things in the back of your head of like, what should I say? What shouldn't I say? What should I hold back and keep private? And I think both of them in that moment were incredibly vulnerable. Like, you saw Katie kind of encouraging him, like she kissed his hand and said, like, you're doing okay, which in a weird way to me felt like breaking the fourth wall because it wasn't like, I'm here, I'm, you know, playing this part. It was like, I got you in this moment. And I understand that you're saying this to all of the US and Bachelor Nation, because that does go through your head when you're sharing something that vulnerable. And I think there's a few ways to really bond people quickly. And that's to either be scared or bond through trauma.
Yep. I was going to get into that. The trauma bonding on the show is real. And they had that moment. That was a big moment.
It's powerful.
Both very powerful. Yeah. Greg's going to be here a while. We'll just put that. Yeah. I mean, he shot into my final two for sure.
Oh yeah. I'm going to say this now, if he doesn't win, he's Bachelor, next Bachelor.
Yeah. And it would almost seem like, get why Sammy, we'll see. There's some, I've heard some things, but I don't want that out there. I know. And clearly, the producers think the same thing. Like, he's getting the perfect edit thus far. It's two episodes in, so who knows? But the thing is, now he may not get another date until hometowns.
Yeah.
So he might even get the edit I did, where he's going to get in his head. Which, it's not an edit, I shouldn't say that. I did get in my head because I had the early date and didn't have another date until right before hometowns. So it could be a minute for him, and let's see how he reacts, see how he handles it, watching her fall in love with other men.
And on your season, you got the first one-on-one, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. I got the first date, and it was great. We had a really early connection, but then you have to sit and watch her make connections with other men, and it drove me fucking insane. So we'll see how Greg handles it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard for him. So
the take that you guys don't agree with. I loved this date, and there's nothing about his experience that I saw as disingenuous whatsoever. And I've been off Instagram, you know, for like 6 months, so I have not been bothered by any spoiler stuff. But there's something, and I can't put my finger on it. This date was beautiful, but the beginning portion of the date, I just have my eye on him, and I really don't know how to like verbalize it. There's just something that seems maybe off, but it's so early on that he might just be getting used to the environment. But I don't know, something makes my I feel protective over her when I watch them together.
Well, also, because I know you didn't see last week's episode, she had made the comment of that she wants to make him feel more comfortable to be able to open up, because he did struggle in last week's episode being like comfortable and vulnerable.
He seemed super nervous last week. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So funny you say that, at least, because there's a lot of people that feel that way. Like a lot of people think he's almost no, you're not alone.
No, that's you're definitely just 117 degrees.
Well, he shared such a beautiful thing, so I don't want to discount that, because I cannot imagine what it's like to go through your father passing. But it was prior to that, he just, something made me feel protective over this girl that I don't know.
That's funny, because like I said, there's a lot of people feel the same way. They think that he is almost too good to be true as of right now, and that he's kind of playing a part. And there's been some things that's come out about him. I don't know details a ton. I know there's some things. Did you know any of that, at least? Some of the stuff that's come out about him?
No, I haven't been on Instagram in 6 months. I'm just chilling.
So, I mean, but I'm not going to sit here and say that, because of course, like, exes are going to fucking come in and start getting on Reddit and getting on whatever, TikTok, and talking shit.
I haven't
even
seen any of this.
Yeah.
So
there's been stuff come out. There's been stuff come out, but I'm going to sit here and say I'm not, I'll believe it when I see, like, if evidence comes out or some shit like that, because
I don't even want to hear.
Of course. Yeah, exactly. Of course, exes are going to say shit, but we'll see. Right now, Greg and her have an incredible connection, and we'll see how that plays out. Say later.
Well, and I mean, besides my weird initial cringy feeling, I still have to give him props, because it is unbelievably hard to talk about something so personal on TV.
Yeah. And he did a good job about through it too. He got through it. So yeah, fantastic group date or one-on-one date. We moved into the group date, and this one, of course, there's always like a physical like bout of strength to see the men get how, you know, their masculinity. That was a state. There's always one of these. They basically mud wrestled each other
straight out of bed. Kind of
weird.
That
was I still don't understand that, really. I guess just like a funny moment. It was pretty funny. It looked like the fire alarm had gone off and the guys had to like run out of their rooms. Like that's what it looked like. They're like walking in there like Afghans and stuff. But
yeah, right? Like, how your old mom are loves you so what much that you have knitted Afghans.
I do. It's actually my grandma. Like, it's actually my grandma makes me Afghans.
That's like the guy saying brassiere.
I literally do have
and
an
the
Afghan
sexual
on my couch.
Date. Like instead of broth,
are Afghans
the brassiere?
Not fucking cool anymore, guys? Like, Afghans are still cool.
We love an Afghan.
Do you have a shawl too? Like
basically the same thing.
Afghans, a pashmina.
Tell you what, you ever knit an Afghan for a man, he'll. you should knit a man.
Talk about it on a podcast in years.
It was my grandma. I've had it since I was like fucking eight. Anyway, moving on from Afghans. this date was, you know, like people wrestled. I guess the part that was super intense and everything, and I'm still confused about, was Aaron and what was the other guy's name?
Cody.
Before Aaron and Cody had that, I'm going to call out ABC because they could do better on the wardrobes. That none of the guys had belts or belt buckles.
Well, I feel like
weren't they
that?
Trying to win the belt buckle? Like in the WWE, you don't walk out with a belt on.
But if you're going to dress like a cowboy and wear cowboy hats and boots,
I also don't think they wanted to wrestle with buckles on. That could get dangerous.
I was going
to
say,
that
I
could
don't
get real
like,
dangerous.
Ooh,
yeah.
That might hurt.
Yeah, that could hurt.
Or like your bits, saying. Your bits might not be comfortable if you're in a somersault move with a giant belt buckle on.
Well, let's ask Blake. He's our
I've never
cowboy.
Worn a belt buckle in my life. Yeah, never worn a buckle in my life. So Aaron and Cody get into they have some kind of feud that creative started before the show. They both live in San Diego. It's bizarre. The drama is bizarre because the show has done, I don't know if they've really talked about it at all and the show cut it or it's just bizarre to me. But they got super intense. They don't like each other. And so when they wrestled, of course, the producers put them together to wrestle, and it was very intense. They wanted to hurt each other, it seemed like. I guess that reminds, there was one of those in Claire and Tayshia's day, right? With Ed and
Ed and Chasen.
There's one every season. Mm-hmm. On ours, it was Hannah and
Kaylin. That's Kaylin, right. Yeah.
Where no one really knew, viewers didn't really know what was going on.
The Battle of the Beauty Queens.
That's right. I forgot.
And so this is the Battle of the San Diego Boys, I guess.
We'll be right back. So Aaron wins and he wins the whatever, the belt buckle. He gets some extra time with Katie, and Katie actually asked him. Katie was like, what the hell was that? You guys clearly don't like each other, blah, blah, blah. And he He just said that basically he had heard something. There were some social media posts from San Diego.
Whether he was wanting to get famous off of social media or he was a bad guy.
That he didn't. Here's what struck me is when he said malicious.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, okay. Because when he first said social media, I went, all right, here we go. Here for the wrong reasons. But yep. How are you malicious on social media? Because he put those two in the same sentence. And then I was interested. The one thing that I was watching was body language. And I mean, I'm no detective. But the one thing that I noticed was Aaron was so uncomfortable talking about it. And not in a defensive way. He wasn't saying, I'm this person. If you like me, you can't like this. There was no ultimatums. It was, he was very obviously uncomfortable. And Cody was very blasé about it. Where if someone attacked my character, I hate to say it, but I would be very defensive. Not like towards the person who said it, but in defense of my own character. Mm-hmm. And Cody was like, okay, I understand. Yeah. Wish you the best. And I went, you got to know what happened. Because immediately I went, you are not a good person. Whatever this situation, I mean, you might be a great person, but in whatever situation this is, you both are hiding something.
Yeah.
Because he was physically uncomfortable. And Cody was like, okay, bye.
Yeah, I have that in my notes right here. Katie read Cody's nonverbals like perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought he handled that super weird, Cody. He didn't even, like Katie said, he didn't even make really like a facial expression. He was just
He didn't look shook at all. Like
he's like, okay. Right. I just thought the whole thing was bizarre because I think had it been the other way around, let's say Carl won that and went to Katie first, maybe Aaron gets sent home. Because like I don't, or not Carl, I'm sorry. Cody.
Carl's in the same boat though.
Yeah. But if Cody won the group date and gotten the time with Katie, maybe he talks about Aaron. Calls him a piece of shit, and then Aaron goes home. I don't know. No, you don't think? You don't think because of
not
the,
at all. It tell? Was like he felt really uncomfortable talking. Aaron did, and like I said, Cody just seemed like he was like, "I'm gonna accept this so that I don't have to say what actually happened."
Okay.
So I'll just be accepting and you know peace out and be you know grateful for my time.
So you think
instead of explaining or saying this is what happened, let me defend myself and defend my character. It's
so you think
odd.
He just took the bullet on this
if
one?
If you're going to bow out and not defend your character, you probably knew there was nothing to defend in that specific instance. Is my guess.
Always got to defend your character. So you think Katie did the right thing by sending Cody home?
Yeah. Set a precedent for the guy that she probably didn't like anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a good way to put it. And it gave her like the strong, empowered woman look too, you know, like get the fuck out of here. And then that group date, the night portion, that's basically the whole night portion was that.
Well, Andrew comes in.
Andrew swooped in.
Swoops in.
Who the hell is Andrew? And can someone give him my number?
That's Clay's cousin.
Clay's cousin.
What?
Yes. Yeah.
Like our Clay?
Yeah. Clay Harbor's cousin. Yes.
Yeah.
Rude.
Yeah.
I've actually in a group chat with him right now. Should I go ahead and shoot your number in there? I don't know. Maybe he won. Maybe he won.
We don't know how the season ends, but like I'm blushing and that's rude.
I'm a big fan of Andrew.
Yeah, me too.
He is so genuine. Yeah. And, oh man, such a good guy.
I have so many exclamation points around his name.
And some hearts and some heart eyes.
Yeah. Well, no, I've grown out of the hearts, but exclamation points.
E+A. Yeah,
exactly. But you're right. He swooped in. He went full like knight in shining armor. And he did it in like a non-cringy douchey way. Like seemed very genuine. He seemed very, they had a great little kiss and then he ended up getting the group date rose.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So good showing for our guy, Andrew.
They bonded over
exceptional.
Yeah.
They bonded over childhood
mm-hmm.
upbringing, which
they had a lot in common.
And then going back to Greg, it's like, they bonded over a traumatic experience.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was in a different way though.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Positive way.
And
a negative, you know, not negative, but like dramatic.
Not negative. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just very different where for me, I was like, yes, that's what I would need in a partner. It's like, okay, now let's make a, not a joke of this experience, but like, let's get back to like being lighthearted together, like the full circle, like let's relate and then come back around. And he did that. And then when he called her exceptional, and then he said, don't look at me like that. I was like, am I in a romance mode?
And then she was like, what if I want to look at you like that? And he was like, that was good.
That was good.
I think he's a bit younger too. I think he's only like 23, 24. And he's like super mature. But like he's super beyond his years.
I think, and every bachelorette and bachelor need this. And I think Andrew's going to be this for Katie. They need somebody they can go to that's just going to make them laugh. There's no drama. It's just very, very lighthearted, like you said. Yep. And Andrew is going to be that for Katie. Now, do I think they're going to end up together? I don't know. But yeah, he's going to be the comfort for her. And he's going to be the person that she doesn't have to worry about. Like, oh my God, what am I going to say? How is he going to act? He's going to be that rock for her, I think.
I have Andrew in my top 3-4.
Do you?
Right now, yeah.
I have Andrew in my top 4. Well, no.
I think we know he's number 1 in your heart.
That's great. So, solid night for our guy, Andrew.
I could be wrong.
It's fine. No, I guess, yeah, I don't know either, actually. I mean, I think he is. He's just out of college, I think, so.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Okay, yeah. Well, never mind.
Oh, no. This is going to be one of our teasers right here. That one right there. We're tagging him, everything.
Tagging him.
We don't know how this ends. I'm embarrassed. I'm sweating.
That's great. I love it. On to the rose ceremony.
Cocktail party.
Right. Yeah. Cocktail party. That's what I meant. Yeah. Sorry. Cocktail party.
There was no rose ceremony this evening.
No, but it was cocktail like that night, yeah. The rose ceremony night. This is where it gets interesting. Let's fucking talk about this motivational speaker Carl. It was bizarre again.
He kind of took advantage of it because
The drama is just bizarre this year so far because I feel like the producers are reaching and they did again with Carl.
I disagree.
You think Carl did this on his own?
I think that boy just likes to hear his own voice.
Yeah, I think he completely made all this up.
He is full of absolutely nothing. So I don't know him personally. And we just like to look at contestants from the viewpoint that we have right now. But he saw a fight that happened earlier where someone was sent home immediately, right? Mm-hmm. One person down, less to battle it out with. He didn't do very well on his group date. The guys were clearly... paying attention to like how other people react that are in like also dating. Like the other guys did not react positively to Carl. They like supported everybody else we saw and they were like, okay, enough, like shut up. How much longer? And I think this guy just wants to hear, I mean, I didn't find him motivational. I didn't want to hear him talk anymore. And I don't want to be really rude, but I just wanted him to shut the hell up.
That's a good point. The guys don't seem to like him.
Producer move because when you watch the other cast members not liking someone, they might just be burning their own bridges.
Yeah. And that you could see in the guy, all of them look so just confused when basically Katie, Carl goes in, he says, you know, there's people here not for the right reasons, basically what he said. Katie comes out pissed off. And the guys are just like, what is happening?
She came out firing. She says, get the fuck out.
And the guys are just like, what the fuck just happened? Like, what is going on? Who talked to who? Blah, blah, blah. And finally, Carl kind of raises his hand.
He's standing there all snarky, smiling. And then he's like, well, yeah, I did it.
He's like, I've overheard some people talking and blah, blah, blah.
But he would not mention any names. Like,
they're like, you know who you are.
If you're going to be a tattletale, then tell the tale.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said a lot of words that meant absolutely nothing. Like I posted on my Instagram, like drink every time that you don't believe someone's BS tonight.
So you're
and
fucked
it was
up.
Honest. Well, no, I'm just kidding. I was drinking coconut water out of a glass, but it just felt like Carl was that Instagram motivational speaker that says a lot of fluff but doesn't deliver any helpful tips. And that's what he came with tonight is I'm going to tell you some drama, but I'm not going to help you if it is true to navigate like who it is or what's going on. If you're going to be a tattletale, then name names.
Right. He named names. And they kept asking. They were like, go ahead. It wasn't like, you know what I mean? It wasn't like he was talking to Katie and naming names. The guys wanted to know. The guys were like, who? And he couldn't do it. He couldn't even do it because I don't think there is. Yeah, but I could see him not saying it to Katie because you don't ever want to throw another guy under the bus. But to the other guys, like, yeah, say it. Like, you did it and you did it. But I don't think you're right. I don't think anybody said that they were here for the wrong reasons.
I think it was clear he's kind of the odd man out and his insecurities are showing in a big way.
Mm-hmm. And the guys aren't happy about it. They are clearly super, super upset with him. And that's kind of, yeah, I don't blame him. That's kind of how the show ends, right? That's kind of how this episode ends, is with the guys kind of yelling at him. Yeah. And they're like, more to come. The drama continues next week. Yeah, and I think Carl's just gonna backpedal until he falls off the cliff. Like, I don't think he's gonna be around. Like, I don't think
he's gonna be like this season's villain. I don't think he can carry it, but I think that he's gonna be a bit of annoyance for an episode more or two.
Yeah, I think the preview kind of showed who might be a villain.
Did it?
Oh, I didn't get to see the preview because I had to watch East Coast and then West. Right. I was very confused. Yeah. I watched it all backwards.
I still couldn't. There's clearly gonna be a villain.
Yeah,
but I couldn't figure out who it was.
Because it seems like all the guys flip on Thomas next week.
Yes, I thought it was Tom. Okay, I was gonna say Thomas maybe.
I don't know how the edit was, but it was like, do you see yourself as being the Bachelor? And he's like, yes.
Yeah, Or did it ever cross your mind?
It crosses everybody's mind.
Of course, but you never admit it, Thomas. What the fuck?
Yeah. I wonder what the rest of that conversation was. Like,
yeah, I wonder if he actually said yes to that.
Yeah. Or he's like, do you want cheese? Yes. Yeah, right. I would love a bruschetta. Yeah. Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So we'll have to watch that a little closely. Yeah, you're right. The preview, of course, it looked like a lot more tears, some drama. But I couldn't really tell anything other than that. Like, I couldn't tell I was going to get the next date or anything like that.
I don't know, but I love Katie because she's unexpected. She's not as polished.
She reminds me raw. A lot of Caitlin. Yes, as a bachelorette. Just like kind of, she'll fucking say a sex joke, a penis joke, a dick joke. Like, she'll do that. And she is very unexpected. And it makes for great TV. But the producers are sweating behind the camera. But it makes for good TV for sure.
Yeah, like, I want to have a drink with her and a girls' night. And as a woman watching this, like, you want to empathize with the lead. And I'm in.
I agree. I would love to sit down. I think we'll be friends with Katie. Like, I think when we go to San Diego and stuff.
I'm trying. Yeah.
She's going to be amazing. And like, you saw the barstool thing today.
I did. Like, shit on a dick.
I'm at like, do you prepare?
Yeah, barstool posted her.
She's like, is there any advice like to prepare for anal? Like, do you shit on a dick? Like,
yeah. Have you ever shit on a dick?
Is it a week? Do you have to prepare for anal for a week after you eat Taco Bell? Or like, do you have to wait 24 hours after you drink coffee? Like, it was an amazing story. She's awesome.
I bet ABC was like, damn it, Katie, why didn't you delete that? You know, like,
I just want to be Katie's older sister at this point. Like, Katie, move in. I'm adopting you.
It was pretty funny to see Barstool Sports post it. I was like, okay.
Amazing.
So
shit on a dick.
Yeah, shit on a dick. Oh, it's funny. All right, Elise, who right now? Okay, we know Andrew's up there. Who right now is your top three?
Well, let's just go two through. I mean, just two on because Andrew's one.
I think Connor Catboy is still in the running. Because if you could make out with cat paws on and still be around, says something. Andrew. Greg, even though I want to see what happens, and I don't have a fourth.
Okay,
that's I'm gonna go with those three. Yeah, I'm gonna go with those three.
Eric,
you
had the same as last week, probably still, right?
Pretty much. And then last week, they didn't tease him this week, but they teased him last week.
Blake,
I'm still gonna think.
Oh, Blake. Yeah, Blake for fourth. I want them to live in Canada and raise owls together.
Because I really like Blake.
I like Blake too a lot. Yeah, I've talked to him quite a few times.
I can see them being so good together, like when he comes on.
So I agree with all of those. I'm going to take the cat guy out, Connor, who I had in before. I'm going to take him out and put in Trey. I think Trey might sneak into the top four.
The heck is Trey?
He's a guy who pulled her on his lap.
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious.
Thomas was the guy who pulled her on a lap. Trey's the puppet and the ball pit guy from last week.
Trey got the rose, didn't he?
No, that's Thomas.
Boys, T is just a letter in the alphabet, but it does not mean the same name.
I'm confused.
Blake always I'm gets getting really them mixed lost.
Up. They only show usually like three or four guys, you know. That's how it is with Bachelor too. You only get to know like a couple of them. Well then never mind. I don't put in Trey. I was getting those two mixed up. Yeah, I keep mine the same as last year. Then Greg.
Thomas was the one who they're like playing a villain for the preview next week.
So the I got Greg, Blake, Connor, and Andrew. Those are my top four right now. So
okay, well, way to steal my picks, but okay. No,
I was like basically cool. Well, we got some fan questions for you, Elise. Got
oh some Lord.
Fan questions. Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. Buckle up. No, just kidding. Do you have any, Eric?
Yeah. This is actually kind of a fun one since you guys are BFFs now. Who from Bachelor Nation would you approve of for Blake?
Uh-oh. Approve of or want me to, let's just say approve.
It says approve. Approve of for Blake.
Say no one.
Can I will say this. I'm not going to say a name, but they would have to go through a rigorous process. I would need to be the producer on three dates. No, I'm just kidding. I am wildly protective of Blake.
She is.
He saw actual evidence proof of that the other day.
It was so great.
So as someone that's protective of him, I'm going to say absolutely no one unless they prove themselves worthy.
Good answer, Elise. Yeah, Elise fucking, some guy was like talking, not talking shit, but just said something. And Elise was like, no, you didn't. And she was like, listen, she's like, don't, you better stop right there, son. No Blake slander.
Okay. I didn't say that. I just said, I love him. Don't talk shit about my friend.
Yeah. That's what you were saying, which is basically what I said. So
with a head toss.
Yeah, no, you didn't. Yeah. Let's see here. What else we got here?
Oh, I'm blushing. Cause I don't know what to say.
No, there's just a lot of stuff obviously on here about like how beautiful your makeup is and your hair and how everybody loves you. There's a lot of that. So
I actually need a tutorial right now of something I've got going on right here.
Eric needs some cover-up tutorial.
I got you.
Okay, here we go. Who are you excited to watch in Paradise this season? Are you excited to watch anyone in Paradise this season?
Isn't Little John going to Paradise or something?
Yes, he is.
Good answer, fucking Little John.
That's awesome.
No, as far as Paradise, you know, we have one Scottsdale boy that's rumored to be going down there. So I want to see how he represents himself. I don't know him all that well, but bless him to get out of the heat, to go to humidity.
Yeah, so just hot down there. What about female-wise? Like, are you excited to see some of the women down there? No? Okay.
Here's the thing. It's like, it's a weird thing because Tayshia and Claire's season, there was older men, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the past two seasons with
Peter
and Colton,
mm-hmm. and Matt,
there was a lot of really young women. So as much as I love, just from a personal standpoint, seeing older men, now I'm like, oh, all the older guys are gonna have like 22-year-olds to pick from. So I don't really know a whole lot of people from the past few seasons, but I mean, Paradise is kind of my favorite to watch. I like the mess.
Yeah.
we can't wait to have you on for that one.
Yeah, we'll have you on for some of those recaps. Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of the older guys, it seems like maybe a few of the older guys didn't go down.
Yeah,
because I agree. I think they'd be a little weird.
Most of the younger guys.
Yeah, I think it'd be a little weird if there was like a 23-year-old and the 40-some-year-old. But I don't want to like age shame, but like that'd be,
I feel like a little bit disconnected. I probably don't even know all the names, but I will still watch it and I will love it because I love Paradise.
Yeah. Yeah.
No offense, Blake.
Bunch of offense taken. No, I'm just kidding. Are you single, Elise? Are you single? Are you dating? What's your love life?
Staying indoors because it's hot as Hades outside. 117 does not mean you dress cute to go hang out and sweat here. Like, no. Yeah, I'm really single. I've been dating, but nothing to report about. I think that I'm in a place that I don't want to get into a committed relationship in Arizona because I don't think it's my forever home.
Good answer. I mean, so, yeah, at least you know, like you kind of know, like,
yeah,
you're not looking for anything serious right now Arizona.
And that's another question we have is if you could live anywhere else in the U.S., where would it be?
Say it.
Blake has been on a mission.
I'm getting her to Denver, guys. She's going to come to Denver. You're going to.
We'll see.
Where else did you say? You said Denver.
And Nashville, but Nashville. After like COVID, Nashville's been taken over by California.
Crazy, yeah.
So rent is crazy and all that stuff. But I just don't think that Arizona is my forever home. I don't think, first, redheads are supposed to live in the desert. And two, I feel like I'm in a place where like I've outlived my stay here. So we'll see what the next chapter holds. But I don't think I'd want to get into, it'd have to be someone really, really special for me to want to stay. And I think that I've been guarding myself from being open to that because I don't want to stay.
Yeah.
I don't want a reason to stay.
No, I hear you.
Is there any special reason that you'd come to Denver?
Me. Say it.
Okay.
Balake.
Okay, well, I've never called you that in my life.
No, you haven't.
nor will I ever. Actually, it's kind of a, can I share, Blake? It's kind of a sad story, but every year on my sister's anniversary, I feel like of her passing, I subconsciously get this like feeling of like, I need to go, I need to do something. Without realizing it. And then Blake told me that his gig was on July 10th, which is the date of my sister's anniversary. And I didn't realize it till I booked the ticket and was like, oh, perfect. What a beautiful distraction to hang out with my friends with hopefully great music. Blake, work on it.
Special gig just for Elise.
Okay, there's going to be a lot of Disney tunes.
I was going to say, we're going to need some. you're going to have to give me some recommendations on what you want in there. I can do
but
that.
But yeah, I have a tendency to do this every year on my sister's anniversary, and I'm happy to be spending it with you both because Eric, you're not allowed to leave either.
Yeah, he'll be here.
Yeah, I have to be.
Yeah, doing I'm a show, working. So he'll be here. I'm glad you're coming in town. Yes. It's gonna be really fun. I'm gonna do that DJ set, and I'm gonna show you how cool Denver can be,
and what a special day to share with you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's gonna be, I mean, actually, Denver's gonna be nuts that weekend because it's MLB All Star weekend too. So it's gonna be crazy. It's baseball.
It'll be a little cooler.
He was like, what? Baseball All-Star Weekend. There's gonna be a ton of celebrities in town. It's gonna be wild. So
the only two celebrities I care about are the ones on my screen, and I'm excited to hang out with you.
And that, Eddie, you're in there too.
Yes, my little ginger friend. There he is. Yes.
So we're looking forward to you coming in town, Elise. You're the best. We love you.
You are. Thanks always for making time for us.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I know you don't really watch The Bachelor Nation anymore, but you did for us, so thank you.
No, I watch. I just work.
Yeah. You just watch what you need to watch. You don't take notes usually while watching.
And once you see our teaser, she looks fierce with this hair.
Fire tonight. It's fire, that mane.
Too
tonight.
Hot to blow dry my Leo mane at this moment.
No, you look
but
great.
Love you guys as always, and I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all 5 of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.